Before It Figured Wrong.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. We knew it was bad at Ford in the second quarter. Turns out it was actually twice as bad. The Ford Motor Company filed a new earnings statement with the SEC yesterday, posting a loss of $254 million. Originally, it said the loss was $123 million. The automaker says it underestimated the cost of keeping its pension program in check, an important part of its restructuring plan. Ford's appointing an investment banker to sort out some of its unprofitable models, and that's causing some concern in Britain. Speculation is growing in the UK that Ford may put its luxury sports car company Jaguar up for sale. From London, Stephen Beard has a story.
Ford says a sell-off isn't imminent, but the company is now reviewing its worst-performing assets, and that's got to include Jaguar. Ford bought it for $2.5 billion 16 years ago, and it's lost money for them ever since. That's in spite of a cash injection of more than $3 billion in recent years. The very idea that Ford may now sell off Jaguar is causing car industry types here to blow a gasket. Jeffrey Robinson, a former Jaguar chief executive.
Why can't they make success of it? They put the money in, they've put the effort in, but can't they see that they've been doing it wrongly and can't they put it right?
The biggest mistake, he says, was to dent Jaguar's luxury image by using Ford components in many of the models. Ford's patience, though, must be wearing thin. Jaguar sales in the US are down 30% so far this year. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Sprint Nextel will report its second quarter earnings today. Last quarter, its shares dropped 15%. Marketplace's Lisa Lapley takes a look at how the year-old marriage between the two companies has fared.
This month marks the one-year anniversary for Sprint Nextel. When they got hitched, the two telecom giants brought different assets to the table. Sprint was steeped in history, and Nextel snared business clients with its walkie-talkie phone feature. Analysts say merging the company's technologies and corporate cultures hasn't been easy. Average monthly customer revenue is down, and Sprint Nextel's been trailing other carriers in attracting subscribers. But Mark Donovan of M-Metric says there is one area where the combined companies shine.
That at least on the data side of the house, that this is people playing games, this is people downloading applications, browsing the web, using email, all that data stuff, in that area of the world, they're doing well.
And that's the area of the wireless world expected to grow. About half of all mobile subscribers use those services now. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli for Marketplace.
For most of us, our mornings are powered by coffee. Well, in Taiwan, health officials want coffee changed to warn consumers about the amount of caffeine they're consuming. The government says too much caffeine can cause dizziness, anxiety, and bad moods. Really? Specifically, health officials want change to use green, yellow, and red markers to measure caffeine content. Starbucks won't use the color stickers, however. They will hand out flyers which tell you that a grande coffee of the day should have a big red mark. Wall Street looked pretty good yesterday. The Dow rose 74 points to 11,199. The Nasdaq, 16 points at 2078. This is Marketplace. After a number of delays, Microsoft is racing to get its new operating system, Vista, on the store shelves by early next year. But Jason Parr says a lot of businesses may not be ready to buy Vista.
Microsoft is projecting a boost in sales when its new version of Windows, known as Vista, is scheduled to come out early next year. But in a poll of about 200 IT departments and businesses nationwide, about half said they won't buy Vista until at least a year after its arrival, if they buy it at all. Joe Wilcox of Jupiter Research conducted the survey.
It may be that Microsoft has to adjust its expectations somewhat. Increasingly, when I talk to IT managers, they don't really care about operating systems so much.
Wilcox says many of the IT managers he spoke with expressed concern over problems that are likely to arise. Businesses worry that the difficulties of implementing a new operating system may outweigh the benefits. In Seattle, I'm Jason Parr from Marketplace.
You're listening to American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft Dynamics, business solutions for CRM, supply chain, and financial management. Microsoft.com/Microsoft Dynamics. And by Reuters. Reporting from around the world, every day, every hour, every second. Reuters helps you stay in the know now.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Stories about possible steroid use by cyclist Floyd Landis raise some troubling ethical questions. there are some economic issues as well. David Carter is director of the USC Sports Business Institute. I asked him what's going on here in terms of sportsmanship.
Well, I think the situation at hand really isn't about Floyd Landis. I don't even think it's, for that matter, about Justin Gatlin or any of these other athletes like Barry Bonds. I think what's going on now is a fundamental erosion in sportsmanship, and I think it's really brought about an overall issue of we should be looking at leadership in sports, because there certainly is a void there, whether that leadership void is coming from the Little League coaches or the parents that seem to be overbearing with youth athletics or even big-time sports. There seems to be a real problem with leadership. It may not be chronic, but it certainly seems to be prevalent these days, and just the recent spat of sportsmanship issues seem to really underscore that.
What do you think caused us to lose that? We obviously had it at some point.
I don't know. I think there certainly is a culture going on here that these athletes feel as though they might be above the rules and the regulations. I think they've traditionally surrounded themselves with yes people that have allowed them the benefit of the doubt. And I think maybe you add that up and some other things that are going on. Certainly the corruption is not limited to athletics. We're seeing it in corporate America. We've seen it in politics. And you wonder if it's somehow just a reflection of what's going on. But it is very troubling. And I think that if the industry doesn't sort it out, there are major problems on the horizon.
What can sponsors do about this?
Well, sponsors are in a tough spot. It really depends on what they are sponsoring. If they're sponsoring a property, for example, like the Olympics, they may have a problem when the scandal is actually with the International Olympic Committee. Then again, you have athletes. The athlete endorsement world, these contracts all have morals clauses. So there is recourse for corporations that are sponsoring athletes. So it tends to run the gamut as to what the solutions are, what the available issues of recourse might be for corporate America.
I got to think that the fans have some part in this. I mean, we're always demanding that, you know, more home runs, more touchdowns, more this, more that. Does that play a role at all?
I think it's going to sound a little strange to say it this way, but I really believe that the fans have been complicit in all this. Over the years, they've had an opportunity to speak out about this by not spending money, by not tuning into sports, and they haven't done that. And in fact, I think what they've done is look the other way when it comes to accountability, because they have liked the long home run. They have liked guys like Justin Gatlin becoming the world's fastest man and shattering records. And I think they've looked the other way. And I think they're a big part of the problem. And ultimately, they're the ones, maybe along with the government, that have the opportunity to resolve this.
Well, at least my next question, which is what role, if any, can the government play here?
Well, the government, I think, is rather flummoxed by this whole thing. They have seen a lack of uproar from the fans. They have not seen corporations, by and large, step up and flex their financial muscle by pulling out of sponsorship or otherwise affecting cash flow in sports. So I think they felt as though it's up to them to get involved and fix what they seem to believe is a problem in sports.
David Carter is director of the USC Sports Business Institute. We're podcasting. Check out our website at marketplace.org. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
Next time on Marketplace, meet the man.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.